Hey, this is Chris Bleck. Thanks for listening to the Bleck and Abdallah podcast, brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship. Find out how to be a part of it at ESPNFFC.com.
It's Bleck and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Bleck and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Welcome in to Bleck and Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. The Hawks lose yesterday, game four today. Can the Hawks survive? Can they stay in the NHL playoffs? Or will the Golden Knights get out the brooms and sweep them, send them into the offseason? Cubs and Sox lost all of their games yesterday. Bad day for Chicago sports. We'll get into it here in just a moment. You wanted to follow up on a good question that we just heard 5 minutes ago.
So a few things. People on Twitter are congratulating Danny on his first good question that is false. He had a good question last year, if you don't remember this.
Yep.
I believe it was Cap asked a question and said, Danny asked me to ask you this.
Yeah, so,
and so Danny got the point for that good question. Also, not to take anything away from Danny's good question this year.
Are you looking to rain on his parade? He's been waiting for this.
It sounds as if he may or may not have asked Olchek to say good question.
Hold on.
But here's the thing. Hold on. Let me finish.
No, because if you're going to bring this
let
up,
me finish.
That would then put in Eddie Olchek's...
Let me finish. Can I finish?
I then retract that statement.
As I'm thinking through this, I then...
Eddie Olchek is a man of integrity.
That's what I'm saying. If you'd let me finish, I was saying... You would think that it sounded like Danny asked him to say that, but knowing Eddie Olchek, the great man that he is, he would never do that.
No.
He would never do that.
This is what we're talking about.
He would rather tell Danny, awful question, than give up a freebie good question.
I don't think he would do that either.
No, I'm just saying.
All right, here, this is what's in question on the good question.
And so I think the story of the night was the disparity in shots on goal. The Knights had 33, the Hawks had 20. The 20 shots on goal for the Hawks tied a season low. In the first, the Hawks went 10 and a half minutes without a shot on goal. Is it just easy to say, shoot the puck more?
Well, that's a good question, Danny.
Yes, Enzo! I made it! Thank you!
That's great.
All right, there you go.
Was it really a good question, or are you just saying that?
See, it's the there you go. And I know...
I'll leave it for the pundit.
Okay, so then John with no H tweets us. He said, so when Cap asked for a good question, you said it didn't count. But Zerman did the same thing and counted. That's not the same thing.
No. Eddie said good question.
Yeah, if you listen to the start of it, Enzo responds, good question.
And so I think the story of the night was the disparity in shots on goal. The Knights had 33. The Hawks had 20. The 20 shots on goal for the Hawks tied a season low. In the first, the Hawks went 10 and a half minutes without a shot on goal. Is it just easy to say, shoot the puck more?
Well, that's a good question, Dan.
Okay, so that's the point, right?
Yeah,
that's the point.
Yeah.
When this happened a week ago with Cap asking Jeff Darlington a question, he asked Jeff Darlington a question and then followed up by saying, so wouldn't you say that's a good question?
He said that's a good one.
And then Darlington said, that's a great one. And
he said Walter Cronkite.
It seemed like he was kind of making fun of him. I don't know. That's just the way it sounded.
So my other observation from that rendition of good question, and don't worry, we will continue good question when we go to weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. Okay.
Finish what you're saying.
My point is that when Cap said good question to Hanley, did he think he was getting the point?
Oh, I don't know.
He said, mark that down. Take that. Mark that down.
No, I think he just knows the game. I hope he understands at this point how it's played.
That he didn't get the good question, that Hanley got the good question.
I would hope so.
Okay. I'm just making sure.
We've got one other aspect from that good question that's also come up. Yurko asked a double barrel, and the person replied, good questions.
No, so you get 1 point.
He said those are both good questions.
Yeah, but it's 1 point. We've always just done 1 point.
Because we back in the day, Tyler, way before you were here, we had an interviewing expert come in here and said the worst thing you can do is ask a double barrel question.
Yep.
He basically said the worst. And you, as a graduate of Syracuse, any great Syracuse broadcasts I should be watching this week?
You'd be shaking your boots if you heard that.
Yeah, we might have a 6 overtime game on this weekend. Go to like ESPNU at like midnight.
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
Any good broadcasters doing work this weekend that you're going to sit and take in their broadcast because of the great alumni of Syracuse?
Do you guys get like a newsletter that just tells you, it's like awful announcing, but it's just Syracuse people that are calling games?
Where
it's
and when?
Iron Eagle, Tirico, Iron Eagle, Tirico, Iron Eagle.
They have watch parties.
I think you should start it.
Yeah, start it. Make it a Twitter account.
I think you should start it. Yeah, Syracuse Watch or something like that.
You know that
there is
like
an announcer's schedule Twitter account, but yeah, we could do that.
All right, I like that. The
great alumni of Syracuse University running the broadcast industry, teaching us the ways on how to handle a radio/TV show.
Well, and also because people have asked if it's a doubler point. If someone says that's a good question, that's a really good question. You know, it's one question.
1 point.
You start speaking and you end speaking. Yeah, that's one question. Whether you have a double, triple, or quadruple barrel question, that is one sentence.
So one. Okay. Glad we figured this all out. So we will be on weeknights 6 to 8 every night here on ESPN 1000. It seems right now we can say this good question will move to Thursday nights at 7:50. So we will still continue on. The same leaderboard for 2020 will continue on. We will still give you the collection of good questions each and every week. We're planning on doing that at least until the end of the baseball season at Thursday at 7:50. So that's what we have planned.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was like the main question we got. I think when this was announced, people were like, are you going to keep doing good questions?
I don't care that you have a show, but it's good question.
You got to give the people what they want.
I agree.
The people want good question. And I think that it's taken a few. This is the third year of good question. But now you could hear it. Cap, all the hosts, you could watch it on Twitch too. When Waddle gets one, he points to me and he does the mark it down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So if you're watching on Twitch, you'll see. The hosts know when they get one that, of course. So there you go. So good question. We'll be back this upcoming Thursday at 7:50. Black and Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000. If you want to join the conversation, 312-332-3776. You know, yesterday was a bad day for Chicago sports. The Hawks lose. They have game four today. Can they keep the series going? The White Sox, they lose 2 games to the Cardinals. The Cubs, they lose in 10 to the Brewers. Not a good day for Chicago sports. Even though on Friday, it did feel like a pretty damn good day, especially if you're a basketball fan, with what took place with Jim Boylan and the Chicago Bulls firing Boylan on Friday.
Yeah, I think it was time for the Bulls to make a move. I think that if you read the tea leaves coming from the reporters, if you read the tea leaves coming from, you know, Casey Johnson and Joe Cowley and Malika Andrews and Brian Windhorst and all that stuff, and everybody else saying, everyone except for Cap, and props to Cap for being correct on this, that given the financial situation that the Reinsdorf find themselves in, owning 2 teams, that a way to save money would be to keep Jim Boylan in a year where you don't know when the season's going to start next year. You don't know what the season's going to look like next year. There's probably not going to be fans in the stands next year, so you're not getting revenue from there. And also, the Bulls, contract-wise, are kind of stuck with everybody next year. So the philosophy was, look, if you can't do anything and ownership is telling you, and yes, Arturis Karnišovas has autonomy to do whatever he wants to, but ultimately, if the owner's telling you we need to do this to save money because it's a pandemic and everything like that, you might do what he says, and you get to make your move when you want to make your move in a year, right? But ultimately, this is still a move that needed to be made. Jim Boylan was not a good basketball coach. He was one of the worst basketball coaches in Bulls history, and it was affecting their perception around the league. And if you're trying to turn over a new leaf with a new regime taking over for the Bulls, this is what needed to happen. This was the final leftover from that regime in getting Jim Boylan out, and now the front office gets to bring in their own coach for next season.
Adrian Wojnarowski on ESPN.com today has a column up talking about Tyronn Lue, who was in the running for the Lakers job a year ago, but turned it down because he didn't think he got a fair contract offer from the Lakers based on his pedigree, right? He has won an NBA title with the Cleveland Cavaliers. He's gone to the Eastern Conference Championship multiple times. He coached LeBron James previously, and he thought he deserved more than three guaranteed years on a contract, so he turned down the Lakers. That's a name that's out there. But here is something that I thought was interesting from Woj's column this morning. The fourth paragraph in, talking about Tyronn Lue. Once again, there are star-powered jobs opening in the NBA, including Brooklyn, the younger and talented rosters in New Orleans, and Chicago. Mm-hmm. Based upon the playoffs, there are potential vacancies in Philadelphia and in Houston, both things that we kind of know. His final sentence in the paragraph, in all except for Chicago, Lou looms as a candidate. So if you're a Bulls fan, what do you think of that? Is that immediately Woj is saying someone who is an experienced, talented coach in the league who will be in the running for jobs for Brooklyn, New Orleans, possibly Philly, Houston, if they go out early in the playoffs, to the Thunder, all of those possibilities for Tyronn Lue, the Bulls will not be an option for Lue. Now, there are some names that are out there that Woj reported on Friday, like Bucks assistant Darvin Ham, Toronto assistant Adrian Griffin, former Brooklyn coach Kenny Atkinson, and then Denver assistant Wes Unseld Jr. I know Ime Udoka from the 76ers is a name that's out there as well because of his connection with Eversley. I would also suggest, since Philly is in a lot of this, as far as Brent Brown possibly being gone, if and when the 76ers lose in the playoffs, Udoka may get that gig too.
Yeah.
So there's a lot in play. Initial thoughts of Tyronn Lue not being involved for this Bulls job?
It doesn't really affect me because I didn't want Tyronn. There's two guys that I kind of don't want to coach the Bulls, and one is Ty Lue, and then everyone keeps bringing up Mark Jackson's name for some reason.
Who is everyone?
People keep saying Mark Jackson.
Like, people know Ryan Russillo was joking, right?
Exactly.
Like, Ryan Russillo is being sarcastic.
Like, I saw that tweet.
Like,
and
he's not being for real.
No,
on that.
No, stop considering
Nobody
Mark
wants
Jackson.
Mark Jackson as
stop
their coach.
Stop considering Mark Jackson.
Like, and I didn't get a chance to say this on Friday because there were callers suggesting Mark Jackson.
Twitters, tweets. Whatever they're called.
There is nothing more, I don't know if it's funny or it's sad at this point, than Mark Jackson on broadcast constantly trying to take credit that he's the one that told Steph and Clay that they're going to be the greatest shooters ever, why they turned into the greatest shooters ever. Like, he never mentions that his archaic offensive concepts were limiting the star potential that they had in the roster, let alone not having Draymond Green start, and it was Steve Kerr and his four out options coming in and changing the offense.
Absolutely.
And getting the ball to move.
Absolutely.
Allowing those players to flourish. But it's always Mark Jackson on these broadcasts. He's the one that told Clay that he was going to be a great shooter. Yeah, okay. No thank you. Please. No thank you.
And I don't
get people who think Mark Jackson would be a good coach. That's terrible.
I would say the same for Ty Lue. I think in situations when he was coaching LeBron, you know, a lot of people make the joke, oh, it was LeBron's team. But ultimately, it was Lue's team. But I think just in in-game situations and in, you know, out of timeouts, late in games, that was LeBron running stuff. Like, you can say, oh, well, LeBron was coaching that team. And no, Ty Lue was coaching that team, but ultimately, late in the game situations, you had one option. You were going to LeBron. Like, there was one thing to do. You were going to LeBron. There was one thing to do. LeBron, over and over and over again. You have the best player in basketball on your team. You're going to keep going to him.
Well, you know how team construction is. A lot of it has to do with being able to get stars to buy in.
Yes.
So the fifth paragraph in that Woj column today says, in most instances, NBA coaching hires are shaped by the formation of rosters and complicated dynamics of star-driven that the stars drive them. Lue resonates with uber-talented franchises whose major talent require commanding pedigree presence and can register respect. The other thing that is pointed out by Woj is that there's something else that makes Lue's candidacy even more intriguing to contenders. Teams are aware that Ty Lue has been talking with Chauncey Billups about joining his potential staff as an associate head coach. Sources tell ESPN. Chauncey Billups is a name that's been out there not only for front office jobs around the league, but people love Chauncey. And stars in the league, I think, really get along with him. And, like, that's a pretty powerful 1-2 punch. And you've seen some of the really good teams like the Clippers and the Warriors. Not only do they have a great number one head coach, but, like, Golden State's number two is Mike Brown.
Yeah.
Who coached LeBron and coached high-powered players and had success in the league. So, you know, you look at some of these teams where the number two, you know, on the Clippers bench, Sam Cassell's there. He's a name that's been around for some time. So whoever lands Ty Lue, they may also be getting Chauncey Billups, which could be huge too.
Yeah, and you know, with the Bulls firing Jim Boylan, they kept all of the assistant coaches to continue to work with these players. So it would seem that unless the new head coach comes in and wants to completely blow it out, that those assistants will remain in some capacity. I look at a guy, Chris, that, you know, has developed young players who got a raw deal when two superstars came in and basically said, we don't want to play for you, and that's Kenny Atkinson. I look at that Brooklyn team, that young Brooklyn team, and what they accomplished before Kyrie got there and before Durant got there, and that team got good. Like, that team went from nothing to very formidable, and then they added two superstars, and then Kenny Atkinson got pushed out the door. I like a guy that can develop this young talent because I think that this young core of Lauri Markkanen, Wendell Carter, Kobe White, they need to be developed. They need to be, like Lauri Markkanen regressed. He needs to be brought back to what he was and then continue his progression. And I think that a guy like Kenny Atkinson can get the most out of this. And if you know anything about Kyrie and Durant, not a lot of dudes like playing with them anyway.
Yeah, they're
perfect for each other.
They're interesting guys.
They're perfect for each other.
Yeah, they really
are. If Kenny Atkinson got a raw deal there and he got pushed out, and I think he'd be good here, and I think players like him, and I think that other stars would be willing to come here and play with for him, and I think that if he develops that young core into something that it can be a playoff contender, then you can get those superstars. Because the Bulls have the talent to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, they should be competing for the playoffs. Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. So if you can get the coach that can take you to the next step, then you add a couple superstars or a superstar, and then your money.
It's been written and it's been reported that, like, with Durant and Kyrie, it's whichever way the wind blows, they're both easily manipulated, I guess, is a way to put it. So you're right. They are perfect for each other. We'll continue talking basketball coming up next. And also, have you ever been golf ball shamed? You ever heard of this? Our friend was shamed on the golf course yesterday because of the ball he was playing. We'll talk about it next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
We have so much to do here on the show today. We also need to get to David Blaine, magician. He's going to fly over the Hudson River with balloons. We'll get to that in a second. Yeah, you heard me. So yesterday we're golfing. What was it? It was like a par four. Like, it was short. So what, like 3-10?
Yeah.
It was a short par four.
Shorter par four. The next tee box is like right off the green. Like, you basically walk off the green. You pull your cart up to the green.
You park the cart in the same spot. You go to the green and then you go right to the tee box.
So the problem with that is if you're shooting for the green and you go right, your ball is going to end up on the tee box. So, or the next tee box.
So Tim yesterday gets a hold of one on his drive.
Our buddy Tim, yes.
But when it landed on the cart path, so he got the cart path kick.
Yeah.
Right? And it rolls directly towards the tee box.
Yeah.
Where there's a group of bros, golf bros.
Golf bros.
Hanging out. They're having a good old time. Vice bros, basically. That's what they were, right? That's what you said? Is that what you said on the course? That you were surprised that they didn't parachute into the course?
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't parachute in for a quick 18.
From their chopper?
Slamming Red Bulls and Monsters.
They kick flip off of their snowboard, and then they go right onto the green?
Hey, bro.
So they're there having their bro day, right? And Tim gets one, but it hits the cart path, so it rolls up the cart path.
Yeah.
So he drove the green. So he it was like a 310 drive, right?
It was
but it was assisted by the cart
path. He got a Bryson drive where he probably only drove it, you know, 250, 225, 250, and then it hit that path, bounce, 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 rolled up.
Okay. So he walks up and like we're like we apologize. Like that's what we do. Like we're not looking to get into a putter fight with dudes on the course.
I mean, sometimes you are.
Well, when
you have a very quick temper on the course.
Well, when people don't follow etiquette, when you got idiots standing in front of the tee box and you're trying to tee off, and you're just standing there staring. You
like
get
you
out
always
of the way.
Keep when you golf with Chris, you always keep a club out just because. You never know. You never know if you're gonna have to use that seven for something.
So Tim goes walking up. He's like, "Sorry, guys." Because it went near their carts.
Yeah, and it wasn't intentional. Like, there was no need to yell four because it cart pathed and it rolled. It was rolling.
So then he gets golf ball shamed by one of the golf bros. So he says, sorry. And then the guy goes, yeah, it's a pretty good drive for someone hitting a top flight.
What?
Like, first of all, I mean, it's not the greatest golf ball, but he was just playing a ball. Like,
we're not professional golfers.
But like,
who
also,
cares?
Like, what kind of sick burn did that guy just think he pulled
someone
off? Like,
playing top flight.
Pretty good drive for someone that's playing a top flight.
You know what kind of golf balls I play? Whatever's on sale at Dick's. That's why. Because odds are, I'm going to have to buy more golf balls soon.
I mean, I heard him say that, and I'm like, wait, really? He just shamed you for your golf ball? Like, I get it. If you want to be annoyed, like, hey, man, you almost hit our cart, or hey, man, you almost hit me, I think that's different than, hey, bro, pretty nice, but your golf ball is trash.
Is that the what are those of golf?
What are those?
You hit it into somebody, whoa, what are those?
G on the north side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, G?
Hey, guys. Love you. I love the show. I just want to go ahead and stay on the topic and just kind of tell you a story. So yesterday, we were golfing. I mean, we had a group of foursome in front of us, three guys and a girl. And, you know, everything was going good after the third hole. Then it started to get a little slow. We're like, all right, what's going on here? You know? So we notice everybody, except for the girl, everybody's taking two shots at the tee. Every hole after the third.
So they have a foursome and they're playing eight balls?
Eight balls?
Eight, yeah. You know what? We even noticed one of the guys getting three out. And
yo!
We're like, okay, come. So anyway, I would like you guys to do a public service announcement and just let everybody know you can't do that, you know, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you for the phone call.
Like, we got out there at 9 a.m. yesterday, and the guy, when we pulled up, the guy was like, hey, can you guys, there's a foursome that's supposed to start at 8:50. They're waiting for two. Can you guys go out at 8:50? We're like, sure, no problem. We're all here. We'll go out.
We basically had a 30-minute head start.
Yeah, and so, like, we got out there, and we're, you know, If that's the situation, this is literally my first swing of the day, breakfast ball. If you need to hit a little provish, you can hit a provisional ball. You can do that. That's fine.
How many breakfasts did you have yesterday?
I had a breakfast. I had a brunch. I had a lunch. Yeah. I had a late afternoon snack. Okay. And then I had an early evening dinner at some point.
Yeah.
Listen, if it goes into the water or goes into the woods and there's nobody behind us, like if we're not holding anybody up, I'll hit another one. I'm gonna pay $50-$60 a round to feel bad about myself for the whole day? No, I'm gonna hit another ball.
All right,
But to play two every hole and you're holding people up, that's ridiculous.
Hold on. G, were they continuing to play out the ball the rest of the hole? So they were playing eight balls the entire hole?
Yeah, so basically they were hitting two each guy.
Ugh.
And we were noticing, all right, well, you know, he just took his second shot, but yet he's still in the same spot. So I guess he's looking for the second shot.
So,
you know, the other ball that he hit.
Oh, so that's
really do you have a problem with a guy like me who, if it goes into the woods and I'm like, I'm not finding that one, can I hit another ball?
Well, of course.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
You got a certain amount of time. But bottom line is, it started looking like a clown show. You know, the cars rolling back and forth all around. We're like, oh, boy, what those days. You know what I mean?
Yeah, thank you, G. Yeah, like, yes, if there's a re-tee, but you're playing out that ball.
Yeah.
What G's saying is then
they're playing
multiple balls down the fairway. That is infuriating.
Then you're chasing the entire time, too.
Yeah, so in honor of G, play one ball when you play golf. We'll be back.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Black and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago.
Do you like magic?
I like certain magic tricks. I'm not like a big, like, David Copperfield, like, watch me make this plane disappear on TV. But if someone's like, hey, I can do this trick in front of you, then I think that that's cool.
Are you a David Blaine or a Chris Angel type of guy?
No, I'm not. I'm not a mind freak.
You're not a Chris Angel mind freak?
No, I'm not a mind freak. No, no.
Did you see this story that David Blaine is going to attempt to float over the Hudson River using helium balloons? That's going to be his next trick.
What?
Yeah, he's going to fly over the Hudson River using balloons. That's going to be his next major live television event. He's going to do this on August 31st.
Wait, what?
Only on YouTube.
What?
You will be able to watch David Blaine fly over the Hudson. It's been 10 years in the making, Abdallah. This stunt by David Blaine has been 10 years in the making. They have been blowing balloons for 10 years so David Blaine could fly over the Hudson River. Does this pique your interest?
So 10 years in the making. Up came out just over 10 years ago.
Have you seen the photo that they are promoting the
show with? Yeah, I've seen the photo. Yeah, it's him holding onto a bunch of balloons.
It looks exactly like
the grandfather from Up.
No, but instead of the house, it's David Blaine holding on. Like, the house is connected to the balloons?
I guarantee you, this dude saw Up and was like, I'm going to do that over a river. But here's my questions. I have many questions.
Yeah, and so do I.
Many questions. One, why?
Well, magic.
It's not magic.
Yeah.
That is not magic.
Illusions.
That's just being a So he's not actually going to do it? So here's the thing.
Know.
Either it's cool that he's... Because David Blaine isn't just a magician. He's also like... He's this guy that puts his body through dumb stuff. Like, didn't he freeze himself?
He's one of these guys that puts, like, the knife through his hand.
Well, doesn't he also do the thing where wasn't he in, like, a box in, like, Times Square or something
frozen
like that?
Box.
Didn't he do that or something like that with, like, a tiger or something
frozen
underneath
man
him?
Alive.
Yeah.
A tiger. It was a naked cowboy.
He does dumb stuff like this to his body. So this is stupid.
I have so many questions about this.
One,
first of all,
how...
Go ahead.
Is it just across... Because, like... For me to do that across the Chicago River, that's like half a block.
This will be live in 14 days. There's a countdown on YouTube for it.
Where in the Hudson is he doing this? Is it the part where it's narrowest? Is it the part where it's widest?
Well,
what's going
big.
On? No, but how? It can narrow. It's a river. It's not a lake. It's a river. The Chicago River.
It's
narrow.
Kind of a lake. It's kind of a lake, yeah.
It turns into a lake.
No,
yeah,
I know it can get bigger. I know it can open up, but I want to know where he's doing it. What's the distance that he's going to be doing this? My second question is, how's he going to get down? Is he going to have little darts and he's going to be popping balloons?
Is he going to let go of balloons?
Or is he just going to go until his arm gives out?
So balloons go up, right? And then the wind pushes them.
Yeah.
So how do you travel? Like, how do you get the direction that you want to go in once you're getting up?
Is he going to do a little
That doesn't work.
Well, of course it doesn't work.
Second question
I have. Is he going to swim with one hand and hold one with the other
That's the second question. Is
Because then you're just swimming in a circle.
Is he just holding on to the balloons with one arm?
Around.
What are you doing? You're away from the mic. Now you're hitting the mic with the chair. What are you doing?
Get back around.
People on Twitch can see this, but people in their cars, this is not helping them.
Well, watch us on Twitch. Twitch.tv/ESPN1000.
How did you do that?
Chicago.
You really just moved the chair around by waving your arm that?
Momentum.
Wow, you're a magician.
I am David Blaine.
Oh,
Ascension.
The illusion is you used your feet.
Yeah,
I see it.
Under the desk.
So let me ask you this. So he's just going to hold on to a bunch of balloons with his bare hand?
No, he's probably going to have like a wrap. Like a wrapping. What? Something that like hooks you in.
This is the stupidest thing. Are the balloons going to be attached to a chair and he's going to be sitting in a chair?
No, this did he build himself a little hut?
Like a little house.
Yeah,
A
little hut.
All right. This is the description
and
on YouTube.
How's he going to get down?
Well, you're right. Are they going to just pop balloons?
Plus, also, I'm sure the reason this has taken 10 years is because he saw up when he was high and figured this out. But also, like, there's a certain amount of, like, weight and helium where you stop rising, right? Like, based on your weight and the amount of helium you use.
What if he goes too high?
That's my point. What if he miscalculates?
So this is the description on the YouTube page with the live countdown. This is what it says. David Blaine will redefine magic once again for an unprecedented live event at a time when the world could use a positive distraction. He will bring wonder, hope, and untethered possibility as he tackles his most ambitious and revolutionary feat yet.
Is this just his hope for people is that they can just tie a bunch of balloons to themselves and fly away from their problems?
This is going to solve the issues with the airlines, right? Like, we can't fly on planes. You don't feel safe going to airports, flying in a tube up in the air.
Is he
going to
wear a mask while he does this?
I hope.
He's going up into the air. He's outside.
He's got to come down somewhere.
He's by himself. Well, as he's falling, as he's lowering himself from the balloons, he's got to put his mask on.
So many questions here.
This is so dumb. This is the dumbest thing he's ever done. He's done a lot of dumb stuff. This is the dumbest thing he's ever done.
This is so stupid.
This is dumber than that Willenda BS where he had a harness.
This is great. August 31st. What time is it?
Can we watch this?
No, you know what this is going to be. This is going to be a live, since this is a live event, and we're going to watch this. We will cover this on our show that Monday.
What?
The 31st is a Monday. We'll talk about it.
No, I know, but what time is it? Can we do a live?
I don't know. It says 5 a.m. on the thing on YouTube.
5 a.m.?
But there's no way that this is going to be at 5 a.m. Hold on. That's insanity. Why would it be at 5 a.m.? I don't know. It just says August 31st.
Is that when the YouTube starts? The link goes live?
Maybe.
Because you can click on the link now and...
Nothing happens.
But nothing happens. Yeah, it just takes you to a page that will be live at 5 a.m.
I'm going to davidblaine.com. Let's see if there's more information. Yeah, he was sitting in an ice bucket.
Yeah.
Oh, he also went underwater upside down for some time.
Oh, hold on.
He ate some glass.
He's got an official store.
What else does he have going on?
He
took the bullet to the mouth. Remember that one?
Yeah, that was stupid.
Yeah, of course it's stupid. It's all stupid. Oh, he was buried alive. That's it. Buried alive.
Do you want some David Blaine gear?
Maybe. What do you got?
Well, he sells a Tour Shark T-shirt. It's a David Blaine shirt with a big shark on the back.
Oh, he's got cards, obviously.
Yeah, of course, he's got his own cards, and then he's got lion shirts. He's got a Love T-shirt, of course, because Love. He's got a North Face bag.
Oh,
a flyweight pack.
Oh, great. Here's the idea that just popped into my head.
Okay.
We have a friend.
I'm going to put this in the Twitch for people.
All of our peeps. This is how it works. We have a friend who can be incepted very easily with things that are trendy, right? Our friend is starting a new morning show tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. with Jonathan Hood. That friend is David Kaplan.
You know he's listening.
No, he's not listening right now. Over the next couple of days, before we get to the 31st of August and this David Blaine spectacle of him trying to go over the Hudson River with balloons, that we can influence Cap into thinking that this gear is awesome and then we could get him to buy some of this gear?
Well, this is just affliction stuff, isn't it?
Kind of, yeah.
Isn't this just affliction? I mean, it's got a lion and a shark on it. But isn't that the definition of affliction?
But isn't Cap all about a lion like this? Like, on this T-shirt, doesn't this shirt look like a shirt that Cap would wear?
With the lion?
Yeah.
It looks like a tattoo he'd get.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at.
I will give David Blaine credit. He does have a good logo for a magician. The D and the B made to look like a spade from a card, that's a quality logo for a magician.
You're telling me that Cap wouldn't get this on his arm?
He already has that shark tattoo on his arm.
The shark and the flowers.
He has a shark, but you got to add. He needs to add. He needs to add like a K for Kaplan.
Right.
And then some flowers and like a thing around it. Did he ever get the Unity tattoo? Or is that like to kick off the show tomorrow?
Could you imagine if that's how they start the show?
In and he's like, hold on.
Oh, no.
It's incredible.
I like magic, but this is just ridiculous.
I don't...
Should we get some of these shirts?
No, I'm not wearing David Blaine apparel.
What about a hat?
No.
Split spades.
You know, I saw... the first time we went to Vegas, I saw David Copperfield.
How'd that go?
Well, we were walking through the MGM Grand.
Oh, like you didn't see his show.
No. We were
you
gambling.
See this? You see this? The tour cities for David Blaine. It's a map of the U.S., but it has a little spot where the tour stop was.
It's all Texas.
Well, yeah, he did a lot of work in Texas. I don't know what to tell you.
They're big Arizona Magic fans. Alabama.
They're big Magic fans in Texas. I don't know what to tell you.
I saw David Copperfield. We were walking to the MGM Grand. We were gambling.
Did you introduce yourself?
We walked through. No, so I saw him, and I didn't think it was him. So I did the double take, and when I turned back around again, he had disappeared.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Thank you to Tyler Aki for producing today's show. Huebner and Xander coming up from 10 to noon right here on ESPN 1000.
Blaine.
You can hear us again tomorrow at 2 with Waddle and Sylvie. And then Black and Abdallah take over the baseball show at 6 p.m. And Black and Abdallah will continue on. Yes, I went third person on you. We will continue on until 8 o'clock every night here on ESPN 1000.
It's the name of the show. It's not like it's Black and Abdallah. It's not like you're going third person.
Well, it just sounded weird coming out of my mouth and into my ear holes. It just sounded strange.
When Abdallah's done here, he's going to go to the grocery store, and then he's probably going to go home and maybe set up that kiddie pool for the day, and who knows? Who knows? The world is my oyster.
Sometimes around here, people then go into a whole Seinfeld bit off of that.
They do. We're not those people.
Oh, all right. Cool. NBA playoffs start tomorrow. When we look at the NBA playoffs, I'm pretty excited because I think the basketball we've seen in the Orlando bubble, it's been fantastic. There's no travel. It seems as if the players who are there, not only are they taking it very seriously, but it's all they're doing. Consuming basketball, playing basketball, preparing for this NBA title. I think the NBA playoffs are going to be fantastic. Can't wait for them to start.
No, I agree with you. I think there's some really intriguing matchups. You know, I think that obviously I still think the Lakers or the Bucks or the Clippers are going to end up winning this thing. But what the Trailblazers did, being able to make the playoffs, is a testament to them. I think it sucks that the Suns won every single game and they still couldn't make the playoffs. But ultimately, that's kind of the theater that the NBA wanted when they invited those extra teams into the bubble. And I think that, you know, starting tomorrow, we get it's the most wonderful time of the NBA season.
It absolutely is. So Monday the games will start at 12:30. Jazz and Nuggets will be the first game. The Nets and the Raptors will follow at 3. The 76ers and the Celtics at 5:30.
That's going to be a good series.
And then after Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 at 8 o'clock tomorrow night, you will hear Mavericks and Clippers right here on ESPN 1000. And the best way to kick off the NBA playoffs, since games are going to start at 12:30 tomorrow, games will be already in action by the time we're on the air at 6 o'clock. So we got to celebrate now. How about this, Pitbull?
Player. Turn
best up. Time of year.
Player.
Let's go.
Player.
Quad.
Player.
Go. Uno.
It's going now.
Player.
Tyler's so mad at us right now. He can't stand the Pitbull.
I love it. So good. Wait till it hits. It's going to be stuck in your head all day, Tyler.
Comes the beat.
How about that?
It's about to drop.
The bigger they are, the harder they fall.
What?
The bigger the heart, the harder they ball. Crossover, pull up, switch, eat the J off. All of you slam dunk. Playoff, so I
just to get your game a player. If you're ready for the playoffs, say yeah. We about to clown. Why? Because it's about to go down.
The best part about this song is I can just picture Pitbull sitting at home, shiny suit. Because he's always wearing a shiny suit. I don't think he has any other clothes besides shiny suit. Sunglasses on always because you don't want to see what's behind those glasses. The man has lived. Okay?
He's seen some things.
Pitbull has seen some things. But I imagine him sitting down, popping open the laptop and going, basketball terms. And it's just...
So if you're like, what is this? If you've never heard this song, so back like 5-6 years ago, ABC's NBA playoff theme was this song. This was the song that they used heading into every conference finals game at the start of the NBA playoffs. Yeah. Like, it was so
they
old.
They took
like,
Timber, and they made it into... They took Kesha and Pitbull's Timber, and they made it into the playoff song.
If you're ready for the playoffs, say yeah!
I mean, if you're ready for the playoffs, play yeah.
I mean, yeah. Who's not ready for the playoffs? Crossover pull-up, try to get the J off.
It's so great.
Going at it like a slam dunk. Yeah.
And to be honest, hearing this song, and then when it ends, and it's welcome to the Eastern Conference Finals, and it was Pacers, and I believe the Heat at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that was the series where Stevenson was like trying to blow in LeBron's ear when they were at the free throw line.
Yes.
Like that's this era of the NBA. It's fantastic. I know that everyone loves round ball rock from Tesh, but
when we were watching The Last Dance and we were going through our Bulls backstories and playing all the great intros from Bob Costas, and it was like two champions enter, and it's like this whole big thing, and then it hits the round ball rock, and then
how does the NBA not still use this? Like think about it. If we had bubble game, okay, Jazz Nuggets, here we go, ESPN, the first game of the playoffs, and you hear right before, and you get all these highlights of the bubble action. You see Dame pointing to his wrist. You see all this stuff, right?
Do you think he would make like a bubble themed one where it would be like fishing, DJs, golf, playoffs?
Mickey. Right? Like you could have all of it.
Yeah,
that's right, Tyler. We're going to just play it again. What's wrong with that?
We might not get to Bro Connor just because I love this so much.
I mean, listen to this.
I suggest you get your game a playa. About to go down. Team by team, round by round. Oh, it's so great.
It is fantastic.
It's
so great.
It's my favorite tweet to send every year, right before the playoffs start, is to send the picture of Pitbull like this with the playoffs in the background.
It's beautiful. So the first game you can hear on ESPN 1000 will be tomorrow night. Mavs and Clippers, 8 o'clock, right here on ESPN 1000. That game follows the debut of Black and Abdallah Monday night here on ESPN 1000.
Absolutely. And make sure you tune in 7 a.m. tomorrow. Will they be talking about a Game 5 for the Blackhawks? Maybe. Maybe not.
And remember, when's the over-under? When will Cap say take that for the first time?
7:04. It's about to go down.
Perfect. We have talked a lot today about the Chicago Cubs. And so each week here on the show, we have our friend who is a diehard White Sox fan. We don't, but it's for the bit. Who gives us a report on the Sox each week. He loves the White Sox, says we need to cover the Sox more, spend less time on the Cubs. Here is Bro Connor's report today on the White Sox.
Let's go, 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 White Sox.
Bro Connor's proud of you.
Thanks, guys. Well, the White Sox, actually, you know, I'm going to drop the bit this week. Just going to use this time to say Chris, Adam, thank you guys so much for letting me be part of the show. It's been a blast. I'm super excited for you guys.
Being
and really proud.
Is he going to cry? Oh, no.
Yeah, it feels like just yesterday you were asking me to record these, and then I'd listen, and, you know, good question would play, and then the White Sox report. And Well, Good Question's a little more popular now, so you know, that had to get moved up in the time slot, which is fine with me. You know, I'm used to that kind of stuff. You know, it's not about the quality; it's about how many clicks it gets. Which, you know, I get it. You know, it's like the White Sox lose two games in a row against, you know, the other division, and all of a sudden it's like, you know, fire Ricky, but the Cubs lose two games in a row, and it's like, you know, actually Grandpa Rossi is doing the right thing. He's using those bullpen arms. He's getting them loose, and actually Steven Souza Jr. hit a home run, and you're going to need that bat in the playoffs. And never mind that the rest of your team can't seem to hit, and you don't seem to have a closer anymore. But, you know, never mind that, because Rossi's such a fun guy, and he hit that home run in Game 7. Anyway, thanks for letting me do the White Sox report.
Let's go, 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 White Sox!
Bro Connor's proud of you!
Did he just kill off the White Sox report?
I don't know. I hope not. I think it'll be back, and we'll talk to you tomorrow at 2 with Waddle and Sylvie.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.